And today we're going to be confessing questions 62 through 64. Okay. Hey, beloved, I'll ask a question and respond by the answer, please. But why cannot our good works be the whole or part of our righteousness before God? Answer?
Because the righteousness which can stand before the judgment of God must be perfect throughout and entirely conformable to divine law. But even our best works in this life are all imperfect and defiled with sin.
Question 63 asks, do not our good works merit nothing, even though it is God's will to reward them in this life and in that which is to come? Answer?
The reward comes not by merit, but of grace.
Question 64 asks, but does not this doctrine make men careless and profane?
No.
For it is impossible that those who are entered into Christ by true faith should not be born for fruit of righteousness. Okay, these questions are part of the Catechism's teaching on justification by faith alone, which is on questions 60 through 64, to which Mussinus said they were included to stand against the Roman Catholicism error of justification and good work. Okay? But since this Lord's Day question concludes the Catechism's very important teaching on true faith, I was hoping to do a quick review so we can hopefully better see where these questions come from and their purpose. It's like trying to cover two things in one. I hope the Lord gives me strength to do it with clarity. What we're trying to do is, the Catechism's got an exposition on what is true faith or untrue faith, and that exposition, its need, its nature, its content, and its benefit are what is now being today the last question regarding all that. So I was hoping to do a quick review of it so we can be better refreshed. When we come into this question, we can see it in its context. Okay, so we'll start off here. Question 20, dealing with its need, asks, are all men saved in Christ as they perish in Adam? Answer, no, only those who by true faith are engrafted into him and receive all of its benefits. So we see the need of true faith. The next is 21, it identifies the nature of true faith. What is true faith? True faith is not only a certain knowledge where I hold for truth all that God has revealed to us in his word, but also a hearty trust with the Holy Spirit works in me by the gospel, namely, that not only to others, but to me also, forgiveness of sins, everlasting righteousness, and salvation are freely given by God, merely of grace for the satisfaction of Christ and Mary. That's the nature of it. In question 22, what is necessary for the Christian to believe? Answer, all that is promised to us in the gospel, which the articles of our Catholic undoubted Christian faith teach in summary, is kind of like a connector between the need and nature of true faith to the content of true faith, which goes on from question 23 to 58 to define what is that content of that true faith that's necessary for us to believe, okay? And then after teaching the 12 articles of the Apostle Creed, to them 22 to 58, 59 is kind of like a stepping stone from the content of true faith to the benefit of true faith, which is explained again in question 60 to 64. Now 59 asks, what does it help you now that you believe all this? Answer, that I am righteous in Christ before God and an heir of eternal life. And then question 60, which Reverend Jones, which most of the stuff I take from is from Reverend Jones' study out, so I find it a good help. I go through G.I. Wayne Shen, but he tries to group it all together, but Norm Jones does a really good job. So, plus I was kind of raised in that, so kind of my fault. Right? But anyway, he says that question 60 may be described as the heart of the catechism, in that everything has been leading up to this amazing and glorious truth of how we, who were once under the wrath and condemnation of God, are counted righteous before God. And everything that follows from 61 on is based on the wondrous fact that I am now, by faith in Christ, righteous in the sight of a holy God. And as we can never do wrong hearing this again this year, how are you, question 60 answers, how are you righteous before God? Answer, only by true faith in Jesus Christ. That is, although my conscience accuses me that I have grievously sinned against all the commandments of God and have never kept any of them, and am still prone always to all evil, yet God, without any merit of mine, of mere grace, grants and imputes to me the perfect satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ, as if I had never committed nor had any sins, and had by myself accomplished all the obedience which Christ has fulfilled for me, if only I accept such benefit with a believing heart. Okay, and that's kind of the heart of the God. That's the heart of the catechism. How is a guilty, polluted, dead sinner made righteous before Almighty God, and how is he to live out his life in response to that? Okay, and then question 61 explains the relation of faith to justification. That is, how a person receives the righteousness of Christ and thus the forgiveness of sins. Question 61, why do you say that you are righteous by faith only? Answer, not that I am accepted by God on account of the worthiness of my faith, but because only the satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ is my righteousness before God, and I can receive the same and make it my own in no other way than by faith only. Quick note there, you'll notice that it's showing the relationship between faith and justification. It makes sure to point out that the worthiness is not found in faith itself, or as we will find out in today's questions, those fruits which faith might produce in the life, okay? But in the object of faith, the satisfaction, righteousness, and holiness of Christ, which cannot be received in no other way than by faith, okay? Which brings us now back to questions 62 through 64. Thank you all for bearing with me, and now we're here. And the place, now we're dealing with the place of good works in relation to both our justification and our sanctification. Otto Thielmann in his commentary says that the good works spoken of here are not those of the unregenerate, but of the regenerate or born-again believer. Which simply put, beloved, the regenerate child of God will never do a good work on this side of glory that will not be tainted with sin and worthy in and of itself of a due recompense before a righteous and just God. Isaiah says, what does he say? Even our righteousness is as filthy rags. And the preacher, in many words of that preacher in Ecclesiastes, says, there's not a just man on earth that sins not. We see Paul carry that theme in the New Testament where he says, for as it is written, there is none just, no, not one. Okay? There is none righteous, no, not one. And saying all that, now question 63. Okay? What a profound reality to the life of the believer, huh? Let me read that question again. That's what a wonderful, wonderful question. One that really just obviously shake us. Wow. Okay, question 3. Do not our good works merit nothing, even though it is God's will to reward them in this life and in that which is to come? The reward comes by grace and not merit. Okay? And that's what we're going to try to work that out. And the question kind of shifted because it is seeking to answer biblically the place or merit of good works, not only in justification, which is the topic of this section, but as well the progressive outworking of our sanctification, or as we mentioned above, the good works true faith produces in the life. And so this is kind of hard, even I think to myself, okay, Bob, we'll break it down to yourself in your own language. So I'm going to try to break it down to you in my Bobonics, okay? Or so Michael, thank you for that word. Okay, if my good works don't merit my justification, they must merit, earn something. Merit means earn, and he must earn something. Because as I look in my life, I see that God rewards my righteousness or my right doing. To which this answer, although a lifelong conflict, it will and ought to stir within our souls that it is worked out experientially, is said here clearly and simply. The reward comes not by merit, but of grace. Right. One more picture. Okay, and yes, our good works, generally speaking, do benefit us, but the reward is not our receiving a just recompense, notoriously speaking, like something we've earned by doing something right, for that good thing which we have done, but simply God crowning the works of his own grace. That should shake us to our core. And I love how the Belgian Confession in Article 24 says it, therefore we do good works, not to merit by them, for what can we merit? Nay, we are indebted to God for the good works we do, and not he us. Since it is him who works in us, both to will and to do for his good pleasure. And let us hear the words of our blessed Lord when he clearly says, so likewise you, when you have done all those things which are commanded of you, say, we are but a profitable servant. We have done that which is our duty to do. Which if you look up in the lexicon, this is their response to that. The servant called himself unprofitable because, although he has done all, yet he has done nothing but what he ought to have done. Accordingly, he possesses no merit and could only claim to be profitable should he do more than what he is bound to do. And we'll close with this, O beloved, may our God ever humble us more and more in this truth, enabling us to realize that the many, many spiritual and temporal blessings that fill us moment by moment are not because of us or any merit of our own, but only because of the merit of Jesus Christ and what he has gained for us through his finished work. Amen?
Yes.
Amen. Amen.